Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, March 8th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you, as always, because in a moment we're going to begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Building the Support System You Need and Deserve, with my guest, Nahid Kasaza. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have lots of other choices of things to do with your time. I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by asking questions, or if you're over in the chat room, you can type in your questions. If you're on the phone lines, just press 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment, and you'll be able to get on the air and share that with us. Let me remind you that the show is live, so that means that anything can happen. Lost signals, that's the most common thing that happens. It even happens to me. So if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I'm Flora Brown, coach, inspirational speaker, author, consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and a grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, and this is what I'm doing in retirement. People often ask me, what are you doing? This is what I'm doing. I invite you to visit my website, Color Your Life Happy. I want you to go over there right away, even if you've been there before, because I just created some new and exciting programs over there for you. The first one is an opportunity for local LA and Orange County residents who are ready to come out of hiding and are ready to live their lives to the fullest. If you feel extremely busy and rushed all the time, or if you feel like your life is slipping away and your dream is going with it, or feel like you never get enough time for yourself, if this is you, please know that you are not alone. Join us to discover how to move from overwhelmed to overjoyed using tips, techniques, and ideas that have worked for others. Now, this is going to be an interactive meetup. You're going to be meeting in person, and you're going to be asked to share your challenges and your breakthroughs in this class. You can call it a class, but it's more like a club or a group. It is called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. We meet on the 4th Thursdays at 6 p.m. starting March 25th. Now, you can get the details of the location by just going to my website. There's a link there, and it'll give you all the details. Now, the second opportunity is available for everybody, no matter where you locate it, and this is to help celebrate our upcoming first year anniversary of this radio show. Can you believe it? We've been on the air for a year. Over on the main page of my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, there's a sign up there for a drawing. I'm going to be giving away prizes on Monday, March 29th. That's the show when we're going to be celebrating at the anniversary. On that day, I'm going to be giving away prizes throughout the show, and there will be activities and fun things to do. So you can go over there right now, sign up for that drawing so you can be sure you're in. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, I realize that that's also the name of my book and my website and my blog. But the radio show, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, changing adversity, parenting, wealth creation, you name it, all of those things contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, I'm so honored to have my guest, Nahid Kasaza. She is an absolutely fantastic professional coach right here in Orange County. Hi, Naheed.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I am great, and I'm so happy to have you. I want to tell my listeners a bit about you before we begin, though. Is that okay?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Now, Naheed is the founder of Aspire Professional Coaching Services, and she spells Aspire, A-S-P-Y-R-R-E. I love it. She works with introspective leaders to drive change, business owners who are ready to move to a new level, and professionals who are in transition and want to design a more fulfilling career. Naheed has a master's in business administration from Pepperdine University and a bachelor's of science in psychology from Michigan State University. In addition, she has spent 3 years of postgraduate training and coaching, so she is very well prepared. Now, prior to starting her own business, she spent 15 years in the high-tech arena, where she worked in fast-paced entrepreneurial settings in leadership roles, ranging from recruiting to product marketing and systems analysis. So she has a wide and deep background. Now, in addition to all of that, Naheed has served as president of the International Coach Federation, the Orange County chapter, in 2007, and she continues to be an active member of the leadership team. From 2006 through 2008, she led the development of the Success Team program at NABO. NABO stands for National Association of Women Business Owners, a fantastic organization where members work together in professionally facilitated groups to accelerate their business success. I've attended their meetings and met many wonderful women there. From 2007 to 2009, she served on the advisory board, developing and co-teaching a unique coaching program specifically designed for business leaders at Chapman University's Extended Education Leadership Services Program. So we can rest assured that Naheed is well prepared to share great expertise with us. Welcome again, Naheed.
Thank you.
Let's just jump right into this, because as soon as some people saw the title, Support System, they were ready to learn more about that because they recognized that that's something we need. But let's start off with, why do we need a support system? Because there's, you know, some of us who work alone and feel pretty confident that we can manage all these things by ourselves. So why do we need a support system?
That's a great question, Flora. And it's really a matter of two things that a support system does to you. It impacts both your intellectual energy and your emotional energy. And on the intellectual level, what a support system gives you is information and additional perspectives. So typically when you are trying to do something, particularly if you're trying to make a change in your life, you really don't know what's ahead of you. You're navigating a new area. And so if you have other people to talk to, you have more information and you can move forward faster because you make less mistakes. On the emotional level, it's even more powerful because what an emotional support system does for you is it neutralizes your own emotion. And typically, when we're going through any kind of a transition in our life, we tend to go through a phase where it's a complete emotional roller coaster. And one minute, you're feeling like you're excited, you're happy, you're doing something new that you want to do, and then the next minute you're feeling, oh my gosh, why did I even try to get into this? There's nothing I can do. And even when you're just living your normal life, if you don't have a support system, you can get isolated. And it's easy for us to get into negative self-talk and feeling bad about ourselves. But what a support system does is it neutralizes those emotions, and it actually provides positive energy and gives you more motivation to move forward. So essentially what a support system does is get you moving towards your goals about twice as fast.
Wow. Okay. I can relate to this so, so much because I've been working on a lot of new ideas, and I do find that it is so helpful to talk to other people. And like you said, I liked what you said about it neutralizes your emotions, because one minute you're so enthusiastic and positive, and then the next minute here comes a negative talk. What do you think you're doing? So
right.
It's extremely important to have that. Now, we all have family and close friends, so why doesn't it always work to rely on them for our support?
That's a great question. I mean, most people actually expect to rely on family and friends as a support system. And that generally works unless you're wanting to make a change in your life, a big change. And the reason that it's hard for family and friends to support us through change is not because they don't want to support us through change, but because they have an emotional investment in us. They might, for example, be nervous on our behalf that we might not really be able to succeed, and they just want the best of us for us. Or they, no matter how good the change is that we're about to make, it's going to impact them. For example, if you want to quit your job and start your own business, everyone who relied on your income is going to be impacted. If you get laid off, no matter how supportive your family wants to be, they're just as scared as you are that you won't get another job. So family and friends are used to you being you, your old self. And if you want to make a change, even if it's something really positive, like now you're going to get into an exercise program and you want to run a marathon, well,
yes.
You're working out all of a sudden every night, and the things that you used to do during that time, you're not available to do anymore. And if they're not ready to make those changes along with you, or even if they are ready, it still takes them additional energy. So it's interesting. I have a model that I use with my clients. It's called the 4 stages of decisive change, and we talk about what happens in each stage. And in stage one, you're usually trying to rely on your family and friends for support, and you're disappointed and surprised that they're not giving you as much support as you would expect. Like if you're in job transition, you know you've got a good friend who knows someone who could get you a job, but they're not paving the introduction, and you're puzzled why.
Mm-hmm.
So what we talk about is how in stage three, those people usually come around.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's just trying from an emotional energy standpoint, because it impacts them so much, it's actually best to find a support system that is mostly acquaintances, people who do not have an emotional investment in your success or failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're not on the emotional roller coaster with you. They're actually able to provide you with stability as you're going through transition. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I was thinking about the fact that the people around you who have no or less emotional investment are going to be the most helpful to you in the early stages because they're not directly affected one way or the other by the results.
Exactly.
That right?
That's
and,
exactly
I mean, of course,
it.
They could be people that are caring. They can care about
mm-hmm.
you, but it's not going to affect them if you can't if you have to move out of your house because you can't pay the rent anymore. It's not going to directly affect them, or the marathon example you gave. That's a good example because you do have to change your habits. Whatever the new thing is you're going to be doing, you're suddenly not available. It's like when you go back to school. So many people start off sometimes thinking it's a great idea, but if they're your family, then you're suddenly not able to have maybe the dinner on the table every night the way you used to if you're going
mm-hmm.
to school or you're pursuing something. So there's that little rocky period in there. And how does somebody realize when they need a support system? Because I can imagine there are people listening who are thinking, well, I have everything covered. I don't really need a support system. Or they're thinking, whoa, I need that. Where do I find one?
Yeah. Well, before I get to that question, I just want to maybe circle back here and validate something that you said and just kind
okay.
of emphasize to people that family and friends still are a great source of support. And so there's nothing in this conversation with any intention to implicate that family and friends aren't a good source of support system. It's just that family and friends work better as a support system when there's not a big change going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that you want to move to a support system of acquaintances when you're going through a change is because everyone resists change, whether they want to or not. So until you get to your next plateau and everybody adjusts, then your family and your friends can become a great support system again. So let's get to that next question, which is, all right, well, let's say I realize that I need a support system because I've been trying to rely on my family and friends, but I've been also trying to make a big change, and I keep falling back into my old behavior patterns, and I really want to make this change. So then you have to think about, where do I find one? Well, you know, one of the things I love about what you said in the beginning of the call was that you have this meetup where everyone's going to get together and talk. And that's an example of a support system. You're building a community of listeners. And as the listeners get to know each other and then they come and they go to your meetups and they talk about things that are important, that's an example of a support system. Typically what you want to do is find a community of people who share a similar situation and similar core values, but are more acquaintances than friends, so that if you succeed or fail, it's not going to impact them, and then they can provide good emotional support. You know, if you belong to a church or a religious community of some sort, often that's a great place to find a support system. If not, networking groups are really good, especially those that are smaller. Another thing you can do is look for a class or a program, because if you enroll in a class or a program, especially if it's self-help oriented, you'll run into other people who are also trying to help themselves move forward. Or, for example, if you're in career transition, if you enroll in a career transition program, you will meet and make friends with the other people that you're in the class with throughout the program, and then that bonding kind of carries you through. Of course, being a coach, I'm going to have to make a plug and say you can hire a coach. And many coaches run group programs. I have a community program actually in my coaching practice called the Aspire Community, and it is actually designed to provide a support system for people in transition. The other thing you could do is just Google your issue and your city. I know one of my clients wanted to find parenting groups, and she Googled, you know, parenting support groups, and she found 100 groups just in our city alone.
Wow. Okay.
And that you know, so I think there's a lot of people out there forming groups, and, you know, it's just a matter of doing a little research to find it, and thank God we have the Internet and, you know, search engines like Google these days, and we can find things pretty quickly.
I want to applaud you for having a community focus in your program. Because
thank you.
One of the things that I had a publishing coach when I was writing my book, and one of the things that he did that was extremely helpful was, one of them was, he had a weekly phone call where all of his clients, any of his clients, could call in. Now, obviously, everybody couldn't call in at that time, but those who could would call in, ask questions, and even though you may have heard answers to the same questions each week, you hear it differently each week because you're at different stages along the way.
Yeah.
And also, you got to know other authors. So that's one of the things. The second thing he does is he has about twice a year an institute where he invites all of his clients. And so that's sort of like what you're talking about, community. Whereas in the past, some coaches kept their clients apart, kept them separated from one another. In your case and in his case, because, you know, the clients get to know each other, then you form just a natural support group among those who share the same enthusiasm for whatever aspect of the, you know, growth you're working on. And that is so helpful. I mean, to have somebody who's doing the same thing you're doing. I mean, when I was writing that book, to be with other people, all who are writing books on different topics, that was tremendously supportive. And I want to commend you for, you know, encouraging your clients to work together in this community, because there are things that happen in the interchanges in a community like that that aren't planned or that aren't part of the agenda perhaps, but that happen and that facilitate growth. So I'm so happy to hear that you're doing that. And I want to also mention, you said about going to the Internet. I want to encourage people to go over and take a look at the site meetup.com, because that's exactly why they started that site, was to enable groups that are wanting to form, or people who are looking for groups, to find each other. And it's interesting because so many people think the Internet is just this very impersonal cold thing. But many people use the internet to make one-on-one connections and to meet people in person eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just all about being online. So I encourage
right.
people to go there too. And the cool thing about meetup.com is if you don't find a group that's exactly what you want in your area, because these are all over the country, then you can start a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to emphasize what you said about finding a small network. There are a lot of networks around that are huge, that are international and national and have these huge, huge meetings. But a small network is going to enable people to really open up and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you can do over there on meetup.com. Now, I was going to ask you that question anyway about starting your own group. How do people start groups? Maybe you were going to mention meetup.com. But
I wasn't, so I'm glad you did.
Oh, okay. What are some other ways people could start their own groups if they aren't comfortable with what's already out there?
Well, you may have heard the concept of a mastermind group. Term has been really popular ever since Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. And a lot of people are forming mastermind groups. And a mastermind group can be a group that you form yourself, and you can use Meetup if you want, or you can use any other methodology. Really what you just want to do is think of 4 to 8 friends or acquaintances who have similar goals and values and challenges, and offer to host a get-together, and you get together either once a month or once a week or however often you want to, and you can do it with structure or without very much structure. In fact, when I wanted to get the courage to start my business, I got a group of women together from my company who all had these big dreams that they hadn't
mm-hmm.
at the time done much with, and we formed what I called at the time a success team, and we just met once a month at someone's house, and we didn't do much else other than talk about our dreams and our goals, but we naturally had this positive energy,
wow.
and we helped
wow.
move ourselves forward, and many of us, I would say the majority of the group, made significant progress towards their goals just by meeting with each other and talking about it once a month.
Wow, that's amazing, and it is so true. I like the fact that you point out that it needs to be small, and it can be structured or unstructured, because some
mm-hmm.
people kind of worry about, oh, my gosh, how's it going to be structured? Well, you kind of decide. I mean, it's based on the people who are in the group. But I also like the fact that when you get together, you can just share your dreams in a safe environment with other people who have dreams to share, and kind of the group takes itself where it needs to go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and most of the time the groups work pretty naturally. Every once in a while there's some pitfalls, and I can get into that too if you're interested.
Yes, might as well get into the pitfalls. What are some of the pitfalls of the, you mean of mastermind groups?
Yes, and just to kind of alleviate, if you feel that you're falling into any of these pitfalls, you can always hire a coach to facilitate your mastermind
okay.
group, which
okay.
I highly recommend being a coach. That requires some investment. So,
sure.
a mastermind group can come together completely free. You just have to find a place to host it. And often they work beautifully. Sometimes there are some pitfalls. So, for example, one of the pitfalls is that the person that organizes the group, they feel over-responsible, like they're always trying to get everybody together and trying to facilitate everybody's time and then manage the time when people are together, and it becomes work for them, and they don't get as much of the benefit of being able to just sit and enjoy the group because they're so worried about organizing it. So that's sort of one pitfall, and especially if you took the initiative to get a mastermind group together to support you, and now it's just more work and it's not supporting you, that's something that you want to avoid. So, of course, one way to take care of that would be to hire somebody to facilitate the group for you. Another way is to kind of share the responsibilities and just kind of itemize for the group and, have somebody else be host and have somebody
yeah.
else be facilitator. So, kind of divide up the roles so that no one person feels responsible for running the group. A second pitfall, and there's two really big pitfalls that happen in the group dynamics that a professional facilitator is always going to be trained to handle. One is that people get caught up in drama. So somebody in the group's got something going on, and it's really depressing, and so the whole group time gets used with this person's problem and everyone else in the group trying to help them, but then everybody leaves the meeting feeling drained and exhausted, and they don't feel really good. And as a facilitator, you can notice when that's happening. You can set ground rules, kind of educate the group on how to step out of a story and focus on maybe the impact of a situation, or how to time each person so that you don't get caught up in something like that. So that's kind of one of the group dynamic pitfalls you can get into. And the other group dynamic pitfall, people don't think of it as a pitfall right up front, but it's with everyone gets too caught up in giving good advice to each other. Mm-hmm. And what happens is a real supportive group is not going to be, if you're sitting in a real supportive group, really what you want is to be heard. You want to be heard. You definitely want to get people's ideas, and you want to hear their perspective, but you don't want people telling you what you should do, because far too often that smells of judgment, and you start feeling defensive, and then you don't want to share what's really going on with you.
Right, right.
So we have to set ground rules. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have to set ground rules on giving advice. Because what happens is if one or two people in the group are too much being advice givers, then the other people in the group tend to shut down. So again, this is something that a facilitator can work out, or you can just learn about and know about and talk about in your group. Like, these are the two seductions of a group, and so this is what we need to watch out for as a group, and then spread out the responsibility among you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do as a facilitator anyway, is I educate the people in the group about these things that could happen so that everybody can recognize them. And then as a group, we commit to creating a supportive and authentic environment and a safe and respectful environment for each other.
As you were sharing that, I was chuckling because I remembered, it brought back memories of an organization that I helped found many years ago, a network, and some of the very things that you mentioned, the pitfalls, of course, happened to us. And one of the things that we discovered that helped was, at first we were a free group. We did start off sharing the responsibilities, so members took turns being host or hostesses. But we did discover at one meeting in particular that turned us around, that because our meeting was free, any and everybody could come, people didn't seem to have enough investment in the group. And one particular person that attended, the first time this person attended, they drained us with wanting to take center stage and get their problems and needs met, and never mind, you know, the whole group.
Right.
And it was that meeting that caused us to take a look at our group and put up some ground rules. We started charging dues. We decided we had to get more organized and structured and serious, because if everybody was going to benefit, we couldn't have someone in the group, you know, sabotaging. And the mere fact of charging for participation or hiring, you know, maybe getting dues to hire a coach like you to facilitate, that right there helps a lot.
It does.
To get rid of some of the people, because there are people who don't want to invest even a dime in their own growth, and they, for some reason, they gravitate to groups where they can go in and cause havoc. So just charging for the participation is a commitment, or hiring a facilitator is a tremendous step forward, because it'll help get rid of some of them. It won't get rid of everybody. But you do have to put down your foot when it comes to, like, the advice thing you're saying, the shoulds. Because the person who's doing that, they not only are turning other people off, but they're not getting the help they came in the group for.
Right.
Because they're not opening and revealing. And so it's extremely important. So those people who are considering looking for support groups, of the mastermind type or starting your own thing, please listen to this advice, because a group such as this can be extremely helpful, but you do have to watch out. Now, what to you works best in terms of the number of people in a group and how often they should meet and so forth? What's been your experience?
You know, to me, the sweet spot is between 6 and 8 members. So when I run groups, when I get to 4 members, that's when the energy really starts getting high and positive. So I'd say a minimum of 4 members makes it feel like a group and really energetic. But when I get to 6 to 8, between 6 and 8, the conversation's just really great. But the number of people is small enough so that you can get some good, everyone gets time focused on them.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets too big, I think you can go about up to 12. So I'd say 4 to 12,
okay.
With 6 to 8 being the sweet spot. If you get beyond 12, that's still fine. So, for example, my community is much larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond 12. But we divide into small groups, and we have much.
Sure.
We have many opportunities for more intimate conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that would be the sweet spot in terms of number of people. And then in terms of how often you meet, it depends. So when I coach a group, one of the models that I find to be the absolute most successful is when I have the group meet once a month in person for about half a day, and then
mm-hmm.
each person in the group gets an individual coaching session sometime in that month too. That's a model I often use in businesses. It's a little bit more expensive than maybe if you wanted to just start one on your own. But if you wanted to start one on your own, you know, you want to meet maybe at least twice a month. But you could meet every week, too. It just sort of depends on how close you are. You know, if you're unemployed, if you're all unemployed, so you have time, you know, a once-a-week group is really good. If you're all employed and busy, a once-a-month group is good. And then if maybe you have a phone call mid-month, just a group phone call just to check in with each other, that works really well, too.
Now, would these numbers and frequency be the same for online groups as well as face-to-face? You know, do you think the same rules apply? Because I'm thinking of teleclasses, teleseminars. I'm in the process of planning too right
mm-hmm.
now. That's why I'm asking in terms of numbers and in terms of frequency, because personally I like, when I'm ready to make dynamic change, I like meeting weekly because
yeah.
I feel like I can make faster progress and you can get through a lot in a shorter period. But other people may feel like that's too much. Of course, it has to do with how busy they are, too. But what do you think these numbers and frequency apply online as well as offline?
Well, I think it depends exactly, as you said, on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So, for example, if you are ready for focused, accelerated change, people usually like that rhythm of once a week. And if you just get it down as committed for once a week and you miss a week, you're not missing too much.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if you're doing it on the phone. I have an online community with mine, and with my group, I like to encourage them, and it's kind of a percentage thing. So a small percentage of the people in the community actually engage with each other online, and a lot of other people don't. But what I try to do is get online almost on a nightly basis and check and see what people are saying. So that really reinforces it. And then with the phone, if you can do something once a week, that's really good, or at least 3 times a month. It's the in-person things that are really hard to do with high frequency.
Yes. Yes, that's true. I have a question about your community. Now, people
mm-hmm.
that are involved in your community program are also part of a private program, so the community is an added feature?
No, actually the way my community works, now my private clients have welcome access to the community. So if
okay.
you're a private client with me, you can balance it out with the community if you want. And I would say a couple of my private clients are also involved in the community. But you can join the community. It's just $45 a month, and you can join the community.
Oh.
And what I've committed to with the community is I do 2 live teleclasses each month minimum. And then they have the private online community set where all the classes are recorded, and we have discussions. For example, I have an Ask the Coach discussion forum, and so if anyone wants to ask me a question, they can do it online. And I check about once a night or once every other night to see if there's any activity, and then I'll respond to anybody who has said anything on the, you know, in the online forum. But because it's private, the people in the community know each other, and so they're able to be more honest and authentic within the online forum. It's not one of those big public ones where thousands
right.
of people can be on it. It's just my group, which has about 20 people in it right now, 20 to 25
okay.
people. So we're online, and then we have two teleclasses a month. And then for those who are local, each month this year I'm doing an on-site half day of professional development on site as well for those group. We might have to move that to once a quarter as we get into a bigger group that's more, you know, all over the country, and just continue to focus mostly on the teleclasses just for the reasons of access. You know,
this is a good time to ask you to share with the listeners your contact information, because there are probably people who are thinking, "Ooh, this sounds great." How would they contact you, and what would they look for when they go to your website? Because I know you offer more than one thing. So if they're interested in the community, for example, tell us how to get that information.
So the easiest thing to do would be to go to my website. It's www.aspire.com, and as Flora mentioned earlier, I have a unique way of spelling aspire, which is A-S-P as in Paul, Y-R-R-E. So a Y and two R's in the word aspire. So you go to aspire.com, and on the home page, there isn't a button for it, but there's just in the text on the home page, it says right up front, you know, learn more about the Aspire community. And if you click there, it gives you a summary of the Aspire community, and you could actually use that page to subscribe right there to get on. And then, of course, if you have any questions, you can send me an email. I'm Nahid@aspire.com, and Nahid is N-A-H-I-D. Or you could give me a call, and my phone number is on the website as well.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, I imagine, well, I know for a fact because of my experience, that sometimes these groups work out really well, but other times they don't. Can you give us some tips on what else to watch out for to avoid? You've talked about some of the pitfalls already.
Mm-hmm.
But right at the beginning when you're forming a group, or what are some things we can watch out for?
You know, I would say, you know, number one is you want to get some information on what you want to know what you want to get out of the group, and you want to define up front what everybody wants to get out of the group. So you need to be able to say, well, this is the purpose of our group. And the first one I did was, it can be very simple. So we're a lot of people who have something that we want to do that's really scary to do on our own. And so by meeting once a month, we're going to help each other move forward on this dream we have that's scary to do on our own. And that was it. But that in itself gave us a rallying point. It gave us something to reality check that we were on the right track. Right now I'm in a sales mastermind group for coaches, and there's a bunch of us, and we get together. And originally we were thinking that maybe it would be a more of an accountability group, but what we did is we just kept checking in with each other. You know, what do we want out of this group? What are you getting out of this group? And we found that we wanted it more to be a discussion forum of deeper things, and we were all enjoying that so much that we slightly modified the group as we went into it. So I guess the first thing to watch for is always be clear and communicate with the group what it is that you want to get out of it. And then the other thing that's really important is educate yourself on the group dynamic pitfalls. Educate yourself on the three things that can happen, and I'll just reiterate those three things. Number one, all the weight of the group going on one person, who then becomes someone who's not getting as much support from the group. They're just doing the work of running the group. We don't want that. And as you mentioned early, you know, getting everyone to commit a little bit of money each month to hire a coach to facilitate the group might be a good solution to that.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is watch for drama in the group that drains the group energy. And if that's happening, you want to nip it in the bud and just talk about it and say, we have to figure out how to get out of this. And it might just be that, you know, there's one person
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Yeah.
So watch for drama, and then watch for over advice giving. What you really want to do is create an environment where you're listening to each other and sharing perspectives, but not throwing each other's advice, each other too much advice.
Yes, and you know what? I meant to mention this earlier, and before I forget, I want to bring it in again.
Okay.
About family and friends. Sometimes we have to watch out for these same cautions with family and friends to some extent, because there are some of us who have the misfortune of having dramatic and toxic relatives and friends in our families who may have good intentions and sometimes don't even realize what they're doing, with whom we really have to be careful about sharing our goals and dreams. These may be people that we can just, I call it love from afar, but that we cannot share too much with them as far as what our dreams are, because, like you mentioned earlier, they're scared. Change is scary anyway. But if they are dramatic people or toxic people, then they have their own issues to add to that natural fear of change. And it can really sabotage and throw you overboard. And especially people who think that family is right no matter what. And there just are times when family is not the best or friends aren't the best support for our goals and dreams. So I just wanted to throw that in, that along with these precautions, these apply to family and friends as well.
I guess what this would fall under the category of having clean boundaries in all of your relationships.
Yes.
So clean, when you set up a support group, you want to have clean boundaries. And then, of course, in the process of working on setting up clean boundaries in your support group, all of a sudden you realize, wow, I need to have clean boundaries in some of my other relationships as well. And, you know, just learning about how to move to a place of cleaner boundaries in all of your relationships is tremendously freeing in terms of energy as well.
That's exactly right. I like that expression. Clean boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suppose I have a group that I've built, but I'm tired of trying to run it, facilitate it by myself. You pointed out we could bring someone else in. How would that work, and how much would it cost if, let's say, I have a group already, and I'm realizing now that I can't handle it? What would I expect to, you know, have to pay or have the group invest in to bring someone else in?
That's a great question. And the answer is there is a whole spectrum. So, you know, just to give you some perspective, at the executive level, if I'm running a group, it's probably, you know, $2,500 each time I'm on site running that group. And then if they all have individual sessions, that's different too. But that's in a business. And if you're taking a coach and you're just going to have a coach come maybe to your home to facilitate or even facilitate on the phone, there's again a whole spectrum. But I think just from the coaches I know, I would imagine that if you have a group, each person in the group, if they're willing to invest between $50 and $300 a month, you could get a good coach to run your group. And, of course, at the $300 a month level, you can probably find a really high-quality coach to run your group for you. And at the $50 level, you can find a good enough coach to run your group for you. I mean, it just sort of depends on your group. If you have a tricky group, you may decide that you want to create a new group that's easier to run.
Now, that's a good suggestion. We are about to run out of time. I can't believe it. I want to I want to invite you back to talk about the difference a group like what we've been talking about can make in someone's life and share some stories and examples. Can we do that later?
Absolutely.
Another time?
Sure.
All right. Well, we're about at the end of today's show, and all of you who have been enlightened, encouraged, empowered, I know I have. I've been taking notes. Remember, the recording is available at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You can go back and listen to it. It's also on iTunes now, so you can download, you can subscribe. Please tune in again next Monday, March 15, 2010, at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I have to say that because we have listeners from all over the world. And you will be treated to another exciting show. Thank you, Naheed.
You're welcome.
So much. for sharing with us today. Those of you who want to get more about her program, please go to www.aspyrre.com and learn about her program there. Let me remind you, color your life happy, and go right over to my site and get busy with all the things I have there. Goodbye now.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happy.